There is usually a big difference between going to work and going to spend time with friends. Often this has to do with the kinds of activities that we do with friends, but at the heart of it is the simple distinction between having to go to work and getting to spend time with friends. This dynamic is at work in more places than work in the weekend, but in our relationship with God as well. Welcome to the GBC Sermon Podcast, a weekly message from Gymea Baptist Church in Sydney, Australia. I'm Mark Rader, Senior Pastor here at GBC, and I hope that you hear the invitation of the Holy Spirit as you listen to this message today. As a community of faith, this is what we are passionate about, people hearing and responding to the invitation of God to join in His mission to renew everything in Jesus. This week, we continue our new sermon series entitled Hearing the Invitation of God, in which we want to explore the habits of the heart that we can nurture to better hear and more courageously respond to God's invitation. In this week's message, Roxanne Lawler, who leads our children's ministry here, explores the importance of relationship for hearing the voice and invitation of God.
Today's Bible reading can be found in John chapter 15, verses 1 to 5. And it's entitled The Vine and the Branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. May God add his understanding to this reading.
Well, good morning, church. It is great to be here with you. If you didn't catch my name before when Mark mentioned it, my name's Roxanne and I lead the children's ministry department. It's a real pleasure for me to be with you this morning. Also, acknowledging that our jam kids are in, which is our sort of early high school, late primary group. Normally, they sit up the back. If you ever know why you can't sit up the back, it's because that's reserved for the jam-a-lam-a-ding-dongs. And so, jam, it is so great. Great to have you guys here. We love having them here. Normally they're heading up ready for their program. They're not actually here to hear me. They had Revive, which we have heard more than 400 kids were here on a Friday night, and their room is chock-a-block full of Revive stuff. So we've asked them to stay. So thanks, guys, for staying. It's wonderful to have you. Well, as Mark mentioned last week, if you haven't grabbed a hold of the message that was preached to start off our series last week, you need to get onto that for the podcast, because Mark preached about how we are sent people. We have a job to do. We have a task ahead of us. We are people on a mission. And he once again referred to the sign that is over our exit doors, which is a word from that Jesus says to his disciples in the Gospel of John, where Jesus says to his followers, as the Father sent me, I am sending you. And so Mark spoke about our sentness. And I guess what I got out of that is we're not like trophies in God's trophy cabinet that are just sitting there all shiny, waiting for heaven, or tarnishing slowly, as the case may be, waiting for heaven. We're actually more like cups to be filled and used and poured out and filled again. And so we've got a job to do, which is wonderful. So as we're doing our series about listening to God, we have a task ahead of us. But today we're going to hear a little bit about how that task, our sentness, needs to be couched in relationship with God. It's really crucial for us as people who are sent people, who want to partner with God, who want to listen to God, that comes from a place of relationship. So I'm going to tell you where I'm going to go so that you know where we're heading. I can't remember things unless they all start with the same letter or, they rhyme. So I don't know if that's anybody else, but if it's not, just humour me, just go with me, because I've got 4 points and they all start with an R to help me remember, but that's not one of the R's, just is. My first one is we need to recognise, we want to represent, we want to respond, and we want to remain. So that's where we're heading, everybody. Is everyone all right with that? Let's go. Awesome. Okay, first point, recognise. Now, when I was first married, my husband and I were first married, we were the last people in our circle to have babies. So we had this barbecue, we hosted a barbecue, and all our friends came and they all brought their newborns and babies, and we were barbecuing, and we put all the kids in one of the bedrooms, all the babies having a nap in the bedrooms, and we were, you know, happily over here doing our lovely barbecuing kind of thing. And every now and then there would be this wah from down the hall, right? You know, the wah, a baby crying, you know, that noise. And one of the parents would go, "Oh, that's mine." And up they'd go and go and attend to their baby and then toddle back in later. Next minute, another baby, wah, cries. And another parent would go off down the hall and attend to their baby. And it happened like three times. And at that point, I'm like, "You're having me on. Like, really? Like, that just sounds like wah." You know, it's probably, you know, it could be like a recorded thing for all I could tell. How do you know that that is your child that is wahing from all the way down the other end of the house? How can you tell? Just guessing, aren't you? And then the parents started saying things like, "Oh, that's mine. Oh, the dummy's fallen out." Or, "They're unsettled," or "they need to burp," or "they're overtired," or "they're hungry." Like, okay, firstly, you're telling me that you can understand which child it is, which baby it is, and now you're telling me that you can actually understand what it is they want? I thought they were joking. Well, then I had babies. Turns out you can actually recognise your baby's cry from down the hall. Like, you can pick it out. Like, there was a nursery in there, right, of kids. You can pick out your child's cry, and you can identify what's wrong. You can tell when the dummy's out, or whether it's a pain cry or a hunger cry or an overtired cry. You can tell. But isn't that how any relationship works, right? Not just with babies and parents, but that's how it is with your friends. Has anyone got one of those friends where they can recognise their friend's laugh from like a crowded room? You know what I mean? Like, someone's got that great laugh and you walk in the room and you go, "Ah, they're here," because you can hear them laugh. That's how relationship works. And relationship with God actually helps us recognise, and that's our first R, recognise God's voice, because we know who he is. We can recognise when he is talking to us. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a young Christian, I used to get stuck into thinking that there was two gods in the Bible, that there was Old Testament God, smitey God, you know, sacrifice God, flood-sending God, cranky God, but then there was New Testament God, who was loving God, kind God, Jesus-sending God. And I used to get them a bit confused and think that maybe sometimes, I don't know, God had a personality transplant or something halfway through the scripture and then he was nice. Because we like New Testament God. We like Jesus. Jesus is nice God, isn't he? But Old Testament God, we're not too sure about him. But later on, as I grew in my faith and my understanding of the scriptures, I recognised that God is the same yesterday, today and forever. That God has always been a saving God. God has always been a God who seeks relationship with us. From Genesis 1, when he gave us the job to fill the earth and subdue it, all the way through, as we've been hearing in our Exodus series, where he actually says, "Come out of slavery into the promised land where we can have a relationship, where you can worship me, where I will be your God and you will be my people." Relationship God. God is the same. And in fact, when Jesus was asked by his disciples in John 14:9, his disciples said to Jesus, "Jesus, show us the Father. Show us God, Jesus." And he said this in John 14:9, "Anyone who's seen me has seen the Father." Colossians 2:9 says this, "In Christ, the fullness of God dwelt in bodily form." God in a bod is what that is saying. So when we look at Jesus, we're seeing God. God's the same. And I want to say that if your God, when you think of God, if your God looks like anything else except for Jesus, then maybe you're looking at God wrong. If your God looks more like the Baal sacrifice God of the Old Testament, or Molech, the God who was into human sacrifice, if your God looks more like angry, vengeanceful God rather than Jesus, then maybe you need to have a little look again. Because we need to recognize God's character, his being, his personality, if I can use that word. We need to recognize that if we're going to be able to listen to God and hear his voice. And just like you can recognize your friend's laugh from across the room, we want to be able to recognize God when he speaks to us. Because there's lots of voices we can listen to. And you know this from your own experience in your own head. There's your voice saying things to yourself. There's a voice of the world and your friends around you that are saying a different thing. It's also the voice of the enemy. It's quite a destructive voice. And there's God's voice. And if we can recognize when God is speaking, then we're going to be able to live the way that God wants us to do. We need to be in tune with the voice of God. Just like my friends could recognize when it was their baby crying. We want to be able to recognize God because we know who he is. We know his character. We know his personality. And when you want to recognize God, you're going to know it's God because it's going to look and sound an awful lot like Jesus. Amen? Yeah. Well, another point, my second R for you who are keeping track there, is relationship with God actually helps us to represent God accurately. Represent God because we know him well. I don't know if you've ever had somebody describe a mutual friend to you in a way that just didn't gel. Like, for example, if someone came up to me and said, "Oh, I met Jodine, your associate pastor who works at your church. Oh, gee, she's a bit daggy, isn't she? She's not cool at all. And gee, she's dull. Ah, so boring. Ugh." I'd be like, "What? Jodine? Are you talking about Jodine Watling? Like, because she's not uncool. She's not dull. She is like a party looking for a place to happen. You know, she's so cool. I can't even be in the same room with her. She's so cool. Like, are you kidding?" And can you understand how, like, if we know somebody well, we can represent them and smack down all the misrepresentations of them that exist. Well, just like that with our friends, we can represent or misrepresent God. Because our world doesn't understand God the way we do. We recognize God because we read the scriptures and we're soaking in him, right? But our world does not represent God like that. For a lot of our world, God is a cranky old man with probably a long white beard living in a cloud. And so when we know God, we can represent him as he truly is. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says that we are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We speak on behalf of God. You're an ambassador. Now, you might have thought you were coming out in the rain and leaving your house or your unit or wherever you live. You didn't leave your house. You left your embassy this morning when you came to church, when you came out. Every morning, you step out of your embassy and you are an ambassador for Christ, for God. And you need to then know the kingdom that you're representing. It's not the kingdom of the world. You're representing the kingdom of heaven because you are an ambassador. And you know that when an ambassador is in a country, you know they've gone through a really stringent process to be chosen, right? Because there's a lot at stake with an ambassador. If an ambassador is in a country, everyone knows that they're the voice, they're the representation of the home country or the home kingdom. And so they choose them really carefully because there's a lot at stake if that ambassador is negligent or fails to live up to the office in which they've been placed, right? It doesn't end well when ambassadors stuff it. Well, guess what? You've been chosen. You have been selected as an ambassador. And because you are an ambassador, you need to be listening to the voice of the God that you recognize because you want to give a faithful and accurate representation of the kingdom from which you come, because we don't want to misrepresent God to those around us. Next R, when we're in a relationship with God, we want to listen to God in that relationship, it's going to help us to respond to God from the right place, from a place of grace. And I thought it might be helpful to show you a couple of diagrams that we use in Arrow Leadership. I'm part of Arrow Leadership, which is a Christian leadership program that goes all around the world. And in fact, Carl Faze, our former senior pastor, was instrumental in bringing this to Australia. And there's a diagram that I want to show you here. And I'm going to describe it for you so the people at the back don't have to put their glasses on. And also the people listening in the podcast know what we're talking about. So we'll go to our next thing there. Now, you can see that this is a circle. And at the top left, it says the word achievement. And we're sent people, and we're people on a mission, which is wonderful because that's the mission that God has sent us. But if we start from a place of achievement, it's not going to go well. Because when we start from a place of achievement, when we think we just got a job to do, we got to get it done, you can see that in the bottom left, that leads to significance if you follow the arrow around. So when we achieve, and that's our starting point, we can get our significance or our identity out of what we have done, out of what we have achieved. And then if you keep following the circle round to the bottom right, then that word says sustenance. And if we're achieving, and that's where we get our identity and our significance, and that's where we get sustained by the things that we do because of that's who we are, and we're sustained by that, well, that then, if you follow the arrow all the way around to the top right, leads to acceptance. Because if we do the things, that's who we are, that drives us. And then finally, we're accepted. I'll tell you that this is called the cycle of grief because it leads to grief, because it's a spiral. It's because our acceptance comes from what we do and that becomes who we are. It's self-perpetuating and it can lead to burnout and depletion. And so at Arrow, we say, this is not actually a good biblical way to respond to God. And so there's this different cycle which we'll put up. And this one we call the cycle of grace. Grace. And you can tell the difference where the starting point is and where the arrow is. In this one, we start at acceptance in the top right hand. We start at acceptance for this one. Ephesians 2:5 says this, "While we were dead in our transgressions, God made us alive in Christ." We don't have to do anything. God's done the work for us. He's redeemed us. He's saved us. We are already accepted by God. And now the arrow is going the other way. And because we are accepted by God through the work of Jesus on the cross, hallelujah, we can then get sustained through that. And that's where we are sustained and fed. And that's where our drive and our passion, our energy comes from, because of the work of God, what he has done. And you follow that cycle all the way around. That's where we get significance. That's our identity comes from that. That's who we are. We are beloved of Christ. We are daughters and sons of the kingdom. We are ambassadors. That's our identity in Christ. And out of that space, finally, we land on achievement, the task, the job, the word he wants us to say. Yes, there is work for our hands and ground for our feet, but it doesn't start with achievement. It ends at achievement. Can you see the difference, church? The cycle of grace. Let's put them together so you can see the difference. I've got one more slide. There we go. There's the ones. One's got a big no on it. One's got a big yes tick on it. And this was actually developed by a Swiss theologian and a clinical psychologist. They worked on this because there were missionaries in India who were struggling with the hard ground for the gospel in that country, and they were becoming despondent and they were burning out. And the theologian and the psychologist said, this is what you need to understand your situation. You're not manufacturing things. This your work comes from what God has done for you. And that changed their mindset. What a mindset change. They were the very epitome of sent people, those missionaries who were struggling. Well, we're sent people. We might not be in India, but we're sent to our local community to do the work that God has for us. And when we respond to God from a place of acceptance first, oh, that changes everything. It changes everything. It changes duty to desire. It stops becoming we have to we get to. We get to do this. We get to partner with God. We get to say yes to the invitation of God. Like, that's exciting. So when we're responding to God, let's respond from that place of grace, the cycle of grace, not the cycle of grief. Well, I've got one more for you, and that's remaining. And this is the verse that was read for us earlier. I am the vine, says Jesus, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Remaining in Jesus allows for intimacy. I'm going to take you right back now. If you've ever been in a romantic relationship, I'm not going to ask who's been in one, but if you've ever been with one, I want you to go back or just imagine every rom-com you've ever watched. Do you remember those early heady days of dating when you just had to spend time with that special person and you thought about them when you woke up and when you went to sleep and their voice and their eyes and their smile? Oh. And you wanted to spend every moment together, and it was a wretch at the end of the night because you didn't want to go home because they were your home. And on the phone late at night, tell me this isn't only me, on the phone late at night, you hang up first. No, you hang up first. No, you. It's very sweet. Sickening, but also sweet. But it doesn't even need to be a romantic relationship, right? I mean, time together is important in all our relationships. We've all gone to see a movie that we don't want to see and to spend money that we don't particularly have, to eat popcorn and lollies that we don't want, and we've done this just because all our friends are going to see that movie, right? We've all done that. Because when you love people, when you've got friends with people, you want to spend time with them. You want to be with the gang. You want to do the things that they're doing because you get to do it together. And as you do spend that time together, well, the things that they like become the things that you like. Yeah? And the things that they're interested in, well, all of a sudden that becomes the things that you're interested in. Which means you've got to choose your friends wisely, right? Yeah, because what they like, you're going to like. Now, if you've got a kid in your life, and I'm not just talking about parents, this is, you know, nieces and nephews and grandparents and just the neighbours or whatever, but if you've got a kid in your life, you will probably have had the experience of taking them to one of those noisy, crowded, echoey play centres on a Saturday to a kids' party, and we've had to drink really bad coffee and spend time with people you don't know and buy a present that you didn't really want to buy because the kid is invited to a birthday party. And you know what? Your job is to take them to that birthday party, and you will do it because you love them and you want them to be happy, right? You've all had that experience. Or you might have had the experience where all of a sudden you've never been interested in soccer in your life, ever. But there you are at 7 in the morning, bundled up, driving the kids on a Saturday in the freezing cold to soccer. And next minute, you stop yourself because you're in a restaurant using salt and pepper shakers to explain the offside rule to a complete stranger. Because you do this though, right? Because the people you love are interested in it, and then it becomes important to you. Because what's important to our friends is important to you, to us. Because we want to spend time with our friends. Now, not in a weird stalker way. Don't lose your personality here. Be yourself. But it's good to like the things that our friends are into. But keep being you. Well, Jesus says in this verse that we are to remain in him. We are to abide or to live in him. We're to stay in close contact, to be connected, much in the same way that we want to be with our friends or that special person that we love. We're to want to spend time with Jesus, developing that relationship. And guess what? Just like our friends, when we spend time with God, the things that he's interested in all of a sudden become the things that we are interested in. And the more you get to know somebody and the more you're in tune with them, the more you can know what they like and what they don't like. Yeah? What they like to eat and what they don't like to eat. what they're doing next, the easier it is to hear their true self. And that's exactly the same with our relationship with God. The more time we spend, the more we remain connected to Jesus, the vine, the more we can understand who he is and what he wants and what he's doing next. And we need to remain connected to Jesus so we can hear him. And let me tell you, if this is new for you, if you're not connected into Jesus and you're thinking, how the heck do I hear him? You need to really listen, because the voice of the Holy Spirit sometimes starts out real quiet. Real quiet. But the more I know who God is, the more I recognize him, the more confident I am in how to respond to God and who I am in relationship with him, the less likely it is that I'm going to be listening to those other voices that we spoke about, the voice of the world, my voice, the voice of the enemy. The more I'm in relationship with God, the more likely it is I can identify when it is he's speaking, and the more I'm going to want to do what it is that he's doing. The more likely I am to follow a godly path. And this listening to God, this being in relationship with God, it's not often going to be the big stuff straight away. You might not get called like Vicky to change the name of an organization and spend time soaking and reading the scriptures and changing something from Southern Community Welfare to Hopefield. That might not be your experience. It might start out with the small stuff. Things that I like to call the ordinary acts of everyday obedience. For you, it might just be those ordinary acts of everyday obedience, the little things that the Spirit is saying to you. At work, not joining in on the conversation when somebody's bagging out someone behind their back and gossiping. Your connection with God may be to say, no, I'm not going to do that. If you're remaining in God and recognizing his voice, you might hear the voice of the Spirit say, not that website. No, don't go there. You might instead be known instead as the caring one at work or at school, in your environment. That may be what the Spirit is saying to you. You know, it could be the Spirit prompting you to give you a particular amount in May Mission Month, or as you're passing the homeless guy on the way to work to buy him that Egg McMuffin, or to make that phone call. You know, when the people keep coming back in your mind over and over again, have you had this experience when you just can't get somebody out of your mind and you're thinking, why is this person in my mind? It might be the voice of the Spirit. Send them a text. Make the call. Hey, been thinking about you. How you going? That might be what you need to do. Could be even signing up to the ministry you're passionate about too. But our listening to God and being able to discern when it's him, it comes from a heart relationship. It comes from having God in our hearts. We need to recognize when it's him. We need to represent him so faithfully to the world, who sees him as being the angry old white man in a cloud. We need to respond to Jesus from a place of grace, because that's where our strength is going to be. We don't want to burn out. We want to be continually filled. And we need to remain in him, because his word says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But the word of God also says that God can do immeasurably more than we can ever ask or imagine. So who wouldn't want to remain connected to Jesus? Well, that's my challenge today for you, is have a think about where you are in your relationship with God, in your heart relationship with God. Have a think about that. Are you like me, that you sort of thought that God might have had a personality transplant between the Testaments of the Bible? Do you know that God looks like Jesus, and that he's always looked like Jesus, and in him the fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form? Do you think that God's angry? Do you think that maybe you have been starting from a place of achievement in the cycle of grief and trying to work your way through to acceptance? Do you need to recognize today that you are accepted, that God has done everything for you that needs doing in the person and the work of Jesus on the cross? You are accepted, and your achievement comes out of that. And so does your identity, and so does your resourcing. Or are you disconnected, thinking maybe like the vine and the branch? It's been a long time since you've really connected in with a branch. Maybe you feel like you're a bit severed away from Jesus at the moment, and you need to reconnect, because you're recognizing that apart from him, you can do nothing. This is my challenge for you, to identify, where are you? And God invites us. And is God inviting you into a deeper relationship with him this morning? Is that what God has for you this morning? I'm going to ask the worship team to come and join me and we'll do some worshiping. So you guys can come and join me up now on the platform. And I'm going to pray in a little while. And as per usual, every Sunday we have our prayer team down the front here, ready for receiving prayer. And I want to suggest that maybe this is a time where you could actually practice listening to the voice of God. This is another little challenge for you. Because sometimes I think we see the prayer team down there, down the front here. And sometimes we can have that voice in our head that says, go down for prayer. And there's another voice that says, nah, you don't need prayer. And the voice in your head says again, yeah, you do. You need to go and get prayer about that, that thing. And the other voice in our head says, no, you'd be right. That's embarrassing. Oh, look at all the people in front of me. There's five people in my row. I'd have to tiptoe past them. That lady's handbag's in the way. If there is a voice in your head as we're worshiping, incline your ear to it. Because if there's a voice in your head that's saying, go down for prayer, and there's a voice in your head that's saying, no, you don't need prayer. Well, I don't think you need me to tell you which one of those is God, right? You can figure that out, which one of those is God's voice. So there's another challenge for you. If your heart gets throbby and you're getting slightly sweaty when you're invited down for prayer, guess what? That's God telling you to come down for prayer. So I'm going to pray for us collectively and then we're going to worship and then come down for prayer if you need it. But would you stand with me as we pray, as we respond to God this morning? Will you stand with me as I lead us in prayer? Loving God, thank you for the ability to have a relationship with the creator of the universe. How extraordinary that is. How beloved we are of you. It's beyond our comprehension, God. God, we want to be people who listen to you. We want to be people who don't just hear you, we want to listen to you, and there's a difference. So God, I pray that we will recognize when you are speaking and we will know what it is you're saying to us. Lord, I pray that as we go out into this world as ambassadors, that we will represent you faithfully and lovingly. God, I pray for each one of us that we will be able to respond to you from a place of grace, to rest in the knowledge that we are accepted in you, and our achievement, our sending, which is crucial and important, well, it comes from that place of relationship. And God, I pray that we will remain in you. And if anybody is apart from you now, Lord God, I pray that you will open your arms, Lord God, and invite them in, embrace them again, so that we can remain together in you. And God, we ask that you will have your way in our hearts and our lives and our weeks as we go out. Amen.
Is your relationship with God at the center of your participation in His work? Do you know the freedom, joy, and satisfaction of getting to participate rather than having to? And if not, is God inviting you to focus again on your relationship with Him, the relationship that lies at the heart of all we do? We'd love to hear from you as you hear and respond to God. Find us on Facebook or visit our website at guymeabaptist.org.au. May your eyes and ears be open and your heart soft to the invitation of the Spirit to join in God's work in Jesus. God bless.